Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Reading, please, at verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. By the way, the Gospel of Mark chapter 14 gives us a clue of just how precious the ointment was. It was valued at some 300 denarii, roughly 1 year's wages. Bear that in mind as we go through the account. This ointment, verse 9, might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, note the words here, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Another account of Mary, please, in Luke's Gospel and chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Commence our reading, please, at verse 38. Luke 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful or anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Kindly again, look what that good part is. It's found in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Frankly, I have heard this account, especially in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, ministered from, where if I was a woman, the way Martha is handled, I'd be quite angry. I don't want to do that this morning. My purpose is not to pick on Martha. Although, frankly, there are some lessons that we can learn from Martha, a bit of a reverse lesson, if you will, in our life. And especially, it's a marked contrast, isn't it, with the life of Mary. We have read two parts concerning Mary. First of all, when the Lord Jesus was in the house of Simon the leper. It is that same Mary, as one of the Gospels tells us, that came with that hugely precious alabaster box of pure nard, a perfume base, and she broke open the box and poured it upon the head of the Lord Jesus. And the words of the Lord himself were this, that she has anointed my body unto the burial. We'll be getting back to that later. It is the same Mary who gives us one of the huge clues of a person who will be a worshiper. And so I guess my primary appeal this morning is to the ladies among us. I've already told you what I think concerning those who are our sisters and your particular and unique role in worship. But I want to tell you this morning that all of us can learn very valuable, valued, lifelong lessons from the ministry of Mary and the life of Mary and the Lord Jesus. Concerning Martha, sometimes people really bang away on Martha. And they just say, you know, she chose the wrong part. She was an anxious person. She was troubled and she was cumbered about. She was burdened with much work. She was more concerned with physical labor around the house than Mary was. Mary was more concerned about spiritual things. Maybe yes to all of the above, but the bottom line is that the Lord never once was chiding Martha for the fact that she was doing necessary work. It is a case, is it not, of priorities. I know some would have us believe that priorities and listing of priorities is an unscriptural activity. I'm one of those who actually kind of disagrees with that. I'll tell you why. Priorities to me are things that we put into order, by order of importance, things that we need to do. And we learn from the life of Mary that first priority for all of us, and the sisters especially, first priority is to worship first and then get to work. It gives us one more clue, though the Bible is redolent with them, of how God considers worship and service. Never once do you find service and worship in the same account in the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation, where you find the order reversed from this. Worship is always first, and then service. What did we deal with yesterday in the life of Abraham? As he could say in Genesis 22:5 to his young men, you abide here with the donkey, while I and the lad go yonder and worship, and then return to you, come again to you. Right from the very beginning, from the first institution of the word worship in the Bible, right on through, worship always precedes service. We have to couple that with the fact that at times we do have to do work. We have to be like Martha. We have to do the things that need to be done. But again, I suggest it's a question of priority. Last fall, Carol and I were over in Belfast in the north of Ireland, and we stood outside, sadly, the locked doors of a very unique place. It's called the Crescent. It used to be known as the Crescent Church. It was a large Methodist church in downtown Belfast. And there was a group that was growing in leaps and bounds, an assembly that was called Victoria Hall. And they finally had to sell their building because it was in one of the really troubled parts of Belfast. I don't know if there are many parts that aren't, frankly. But they sold their building, and they bought this Crescent Church building. And it's exactly as it appears. It's a huge, orangish stone building. There's a man by the name of Derek Bingham, who some of you either may know or know of. And Derek Bingham is a commended worker and an evangelist who works out of that assembly. Every single Tuesday night, they have a thing called Tuesday Night at the Crescent. Their number right now is 2,250 on average, people who come for the study of the Word of God to this building. And their estimates are that 85% of them are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,250 people. And they come in with no entertainment. There's no singing except Derek leads one song a cappella, and they get into the Word of God for 2 hours. And people from all over Belfast are coming to hear the Word of God. I had the occasion of sharing the Easter conference in Toronto this year with Derek, and he was telling us something that was really kind of humorous, but it underscored the point that I want to make. He talked about a man that he knew in the north of Ireland who had gotten saved out of a very desperately sinful, wicked past. And his wife had come to Christ beforehand, and she was certainly thrilled, of course, that he got saved. And he was just in the first blush of new Christian life. You meet people like that, and it's really refreshing, isn't it? They haven't had the chance to let the world jade them. They haven't had the rough edges of their new faith in Christ polished off by all of the things of life that seem to just kind of buffet us here and there. And he was in the new blush of his new life in Christ. And unfortunately, because Belfast is like it is, and every block seems to have an assembly, He was going every night of the week. He came home from work, barely had time to change, and he was out the door. Often his wife made him meals, and she went to great work for it. And he said, "I'm sorry, hon, I have no time to eat. I'm going to a meeting so-and-so place." Finally, he came home one night, and he went upstairs, and his wife came up, and she said, "Can I ask you where you're going tonight?" He said, "Yes, I'm going to such and such assembly." And she said, "You are?" He said, "Yes, I am. There's a missionary there." And she said, "Oh, I see." And he said, "And he has a slide presentation with us, and it is entitled, Through China with the Gospel." To which she turned to him and she said, "Actually, you're staying home tonight, my dear, because you are going to go through the dinner china with a dishcloth." And so he had to stay home that night. And the point was well taken, that at times we can be maybe so thoughtless in some regards concerning work that has to be done, that we have to balance the two, don't we? We have to get our priorities straight. But let's not knock Martha. She was doing a good work, but her priorities were a little bit skewed, and we see that in the story. First of all, though, we go back to the account in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. I want us to notice one of the first lessons that we learn from the life of Mary in the account of Matthew 26. Read again verse number 8. When his disciples saw what she had done, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this way?" I want us to notice several points from this. First of all, the Lord Jesus never asked her to come and break the precious box of ointment upon his head. Never once. Hope that wasn't lost on us this morning. The Lord Jesus never asked her to come. She came voluntarily, didn't she? She came because she couldn't help but come. We came this morning because we couldn't help but come. And the brethren who rose to their feet this morning, and all of us silently or audibly, could not help but worship the Lord Jesus, can we? If we had reservations this morning, there was something that was keeping us from worship. I hope we were convinced this morning that we should get back on our knees and ask the Lord what is hindering worship between our hearts and God. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, we shouldn't be able to help ourselves in worshiping. Mary couldn't. She comes into perhaps a stranger's home. Think of it this way. It was the home of a leper, wasn't it? Wasn't the type of place that you crave going to. But she came because she just couldn't help herself. Notice again that she brought something that cost her to bring. What did our worship this morning cost us? Did it cost us any time last night? Did it cost us any time this week? Did we have moments that we were setting aside this week, as we do every week, to just feast upon the Lord Jesus and allow him to tell us things concerning himself? We do that? A lot of places that I get to, people are decrying the worship today. They say to us, some of the older folks, our older brethren and sisters, they say, "We remember when it really was worship. I would have loved to have had them here this morning. I would have loved to take the meeting this morning. It was real worship." But let's be honest. A lot of the meetings that we have for the Lord's Supper anymore are deficient in their heartfelt worship, aren't they? Some of you may have heard me say this. Bear with me, please. I feel constrained to say it again. Obviously, I love music. For 25 years, it's been my privilege to give over 3,000 concerts in music. I love music. It's been a huge part of my life. But music is secondhand worship. It's somebody else's words. Someone else's tune. I don't call music inspired. We can't do that. But there are some of the hymns that aren't far from it, are they? And sometimes we denigrate the older hymns. I want to tell you, do you realize that two at least of the hymns that we sang this morning, including Isaac Watts' awesome words, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," were written by people under the age of 20. Mr. Watts, or Dr. Watts as he became, was just shy of his 19th birthday when he wrote those words, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands our heart, our lives, our all." Bob, I appreciated you asking for that third verse to be sung softly this morning. I wondered how we dared sing that fourth verse heartily this morning. Love so amazing demands our heart, our lives, our all. Music has an integral part in our worship. But there's someone else's word. It is entirely fitting for the Word of God to be read at a Lord's Supper. Entirely fitting. In fact, there's something almost missing, isn't there, if we have a meeting and the Word of God is not open. Something's missing. Understand that while it's very integral in our worship, we read other people's words that have been given to us by the Holy Spirit. I say this not at the expense of hymns or the reading of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the pinnacle expression of worship is when the Holy Spirit descends upon a person who rises to their feet and leads the people of God with thoughts that they alone have been enjoying. It is the pinnacle of worship. And I'm getting to places now where we're having 4, 5, 6. So far this year, the record has been 8 consecutive hymns in one Lord's Supper where I was. That's the record this year. 8 in a row. Is it perhaps a bit of a symbol of the dearth of the heartfelt worship that is permeating our assemblies today? Is it perhaps? I don't think there's any question about it. I'm thoroughly convinced in my mind that perhaps hymns are becoming a crutch. That we just can rise to our feet for the sake of doing it, not all the time, and it wasn't that way this morning. I'm not picking at any one group. I'm just talking in generalities now. We can rise to our feet and give out a hymn. It's easier. It doesn't cost us perhaps as much as true heartfelt worship. Do you realize what Mary's worship cost her? 1 year's wages. Recently I read that the average income in the United States last year was $26,118. How many of us, if that is average income, if we were asked, would even dare bring $26,118 to give to the Lord? 1 year's wages. There are almost undoubtedly those with us, and you earn more than that. Does your worship ever cost you even a fraction of 1 year's wages? Part of worship, of course, is our giving, isn't it? It is our giving of time. It is our giving, as in Mary's case, of our soul itself. It's also part of our financial giving. I can say that because I'm in no way, shape, or form exempt, even though I supposedly live on faith. I'm not exempt from these principles. It is all part and parcel of the fact that God has given all to us. And He demands from us in return what should be our reasonable due to give back to Him in the first place. Tell you an amazing thing about that, though. God rewards that which is our reasonable due. And He's longing for our worship. He's longing for our time. He's longing for top billing in our lives. And God is also looking for us to share financially with how He has blessed us back to Him so that the work of God can continue. It's all part and parcel of it. And in Mary, we see examples of every aspect of a life that was devoted to be given back to God. We see also in Mary remarkable spiritual insight. Do you realize that the disciples that traveled with the Lord Jesus, well, of course you do. You've read it many times in the Gospel. He gave them profound teaching concerning His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And what did they say? They doubted. And as we'll learn later on this week, even Peter challenged the Lord Jesus one time when he talked about the fact that he would have to die to become answer for sin. Very quietly, very unbidden, comes into the house of a leper a woman. And I find that wonderful and it's significant. She brings something that is of huge cost to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus unto his burn. I have no question in my mind this morning that some of the most precious ointment that was lavished by faith upon the blessed head of our Savior this morning came from the hearts of some of our sisters. And I want to ask you to do something with the help of God in your life. Never let it change. Never let it change. Those of us who inhabit places like this behind podiums, Steve, feel free to contradict me. Brother Bob, George, any of us. We have a missionary with us. Feel free, any of you, to stand up and contradict me. Have we not tangibly felt at times the power of the prayers of some of the godly women that we know are praying for us? And we need it. And I just want to say thanks. We learn a really tragic lesson, though, too. As we have read here in verse 8, at the reaction of the very disciples of the Savior to this woman who had, at great cost to herself, brought this wonderfully precious ointment and poured it upon his head. Now, bear in mind that this is a twofold little thing that they're doing to him, to her. They're, first of all, accusing her of great waste, aren't they? Second of all, they're also chiding her. They're rebuking her for what she's done. Now, coupled with the fact that they consider it waste is this. It would be apparent that they think that they have a better motive for what that could have been done for. They say, after all, it could have been sold. It could have been sold for the equivalent of $26,118 today and been distributed to the poor. Is there anything wrong with that? Well, not really. But it's not the most right thing to do with it, was it? So the disciples were flawed in their reasoning, weren't they? And they say in verse 8, with indignation, to what purpose has this waste been done? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor, to which the Lord Jesus says, why do you trouble the woman? She has wrought a good work upon me. You have the poor always with you. But me, you have not always. Not only did she not value personal cause, she also put no regard whatsoever in what others would think. Are you listening this morning? She put no regard into what other people thought of her worship of the Lord Jesus. This is an appeal for all of us this morning, my heart first. Worship will cost us. It will cost us time. It will cost us, to some degree, fellowship with the world. The greater the degree, it's one of those cause and effect things, the greater the degree of our desire to leave the fellowship of the world behind and enjoy the fellowship of Christ, to that same degree, incrementally, will the quality of our worship increase. Cause and effect. The same thing holds true in reverse. If we decide to go hand in hand with the world, it will be known in our worship. It will be seen. It will be felt. There will be a coldness about us, won't there? What is worth it, folks? Going in for the world? Amassing things? And amassing fortune? Or is going in for the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and anointing him with a perfume that spread throughout the house, that had to have spread around the community? And you know the thing that I just find the most blessed? The Lord Jesus carried the fragrance of that perfume with him as he left the house of the leper. And I dare say, since it was the very essence of perfume, pure nard, that fragrance lasted with him for a long, long time. Are you people of worship this morning? I want to ask the ladies this morning in particular, are you people of worship? Do you see in Mary anything of yourself? I hope you do. And I hope you'll be challenged by this. Thank the Lord, Mary was verbally protected by the Lord Jesus and His promises. And the Lord tells us in this account that she was and she is and ever will be a memorial, a heroine, actually, concerning the fact that she anointed His body for the burial. Now we go to the Gospel of Luke again, chapter 10, that we read in the last 15 minutes, because there are some great lessons that we can learn from Mary here. I'm going to contrast this morning Mary and Martha for us. When you turn to it. Look, please, first at verse 40 concerning Martha. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him, that is the Lord Jesus, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Any of you ladies ever feel like saying that? Honestly, this morning, it's a great, great lesson for us. But any of you feel like saying that? Okay, it's our turn, guys. Are you one who is very active around your local assembly? And there are others who are there, but they really don't do that much? You sometimes feel like saying, Lord, get these people to work. I have to do everything myself. Can you please bid them to help me? Do you ever feel like that? As hard as we are at times on Martha, I have great respect for her. And I have a feeling that knowing myself as well as I do, I might have been a little bit like Martha. That's Martha's first choice. Go to the verse before it, and now we get Mary's. She had a sister, verse 39, called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3 for a reference. I would quote it, but I think it might be much, much more beneficial for us to see it in context where it's found in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 3. Obviously, Peter is talking here about wives, but I think we're safe in broadening this to ladies in general. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or plaiting of gold in the hair, and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, that is, dressing for attention, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. And I believe this describes Mary. Here's Peter's description of Mary. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God or hoped in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, and so on. I believe we have before us here a wonderful description of Mary herself, the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. Two choices are faced. Here is Mary. She is with Lazarus and with Martha. She is a co-owner of the house. They live there together. Into their home has come one of their favorite people, the blessed Lord Jesus, and his band of disciples. Common sense would tell us, would it not, that they were probably a bit wearied from their journey. They probably would have enjoyed something to drink. Maybe were in need of something to eat. Hospitality has to prevail. After all, hospitality, according to Matthew 25, is one of the most blessed things that the Lord Jesus ever felt in his life. He enjoyed hospitality. And he strongly commended, as did the apostles, those who were hospitable. Martha decides to do hospitality. Mary decides to do what? To sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and listen. Again, I want to ask our hearts this morning, and I want us to be very honest before God. Do we have those moments this week when we sat in quietness? At cost to us, and commune one-on-one with the Lord Jesus. Obviously, some did, or we wouldn't have had a meeting like we did this morning. But for a person to be spiritually devoted and literally in tune with the heart of Christ, It doesn't come by accident. It doesn't come from any person standing telling you about the Lord Jesus. It comes from things that are alone revealed to us about Him through the Holy Spirit and through our communion through the reading of the Word of God and on our knees in prayer. Paul could say that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. And I believe here is the ultimate of it all, though actually chronologically it might be the beginning of Philippians 3:10. To be conformed unto His death. Does that describe us this morning? And I hope if no other lesson is taken from this weekend, or even from the week, it is this. That like the Lord Jesus said to those, to the woman at the well, said the Father still seeks such to worship Him. And that hasn't changed since His day. Still seeking worshipers. Still seeking sisters and brothers who are people of worship. Mary, as opposed to Martha, was kind of adorned with a meek and a quiet spirit. Whereas Martha was quite bold, wasn't she, in the way that she went to the Lord Jesus. That's one of the lessons I think that we can learn from this account. Another thing that we can learn from it is this. Martha was a rather anxious person, very worrisome. Whereas Mary was not at all concerned with the serving of the household of company. Mary was concerned about getting to know the one she loved. Part of love, isn't it? Maybe the most profound aspect of love. My wife and I were raised 1,100 miles apart. And so when we were engaged, we lived 1,100 miles apart. She in Wisconsin, I in Pennsylvania. And then she moved about 1,200 miles further from me down to Miami, Florida. She said I never picked up on the hint. And she has often told people, and she probably has told some of the people here from my own assembly, that if she lived closer and had gotten to know me better, things might have been different. But I am just so thankful, very thankful, night and day, that the Lord brought us together. And I think if she really was honest, maybe she would say that sometimes she is too. One of the things that we just treasured were the letters won from each other. When her letters came, I couldn't wait to open them up. Couldn't wait to read them time and time and time again. And after about the fourth or fifth reading, I'd start reading between the lines, looking for the little hidden things that she might have tucked in there. Little things that just proved that she really loved me. And then I would read it again, and I'd put it away, and maybe that night I'd get it out and read it again. I want to tell you, if you're ever a father someday, guys, hide your old letters from your children. Make sure that they're very well hidden. My daughter found ours. All alone in the basement in my filing cabinet. For hours on end, and we thought she was doing homework. But that was Carol's love letter to me, and frankly, they were my love letters to her. And we got to know each other a lot, actually. Not just in the times we were together, not just on the phone, but frankly, we got to know each other from reading what we said to each other. Little things of our character came out in the letters. I read them now, 17, 18 years later, and I think, you know, that is Carol. I never really realized it, and I didn't appreciate it then like I do now. But that's her coming out in those letters. This is Christ coming out in His letter. And if we are not spending the time that we need to spend if we are to get to know Him, it will show in every aspect of our lives. Find me a person whose appearance, whose deportment, whose language, and frankly, whose apparent, and I want to be very careful about that because we can't judge motives, but whose apparent desires, the basic tenor of their life, seems to be woven more around the fabric of earth than it does around the heavenly fabric. Find me a person like that, and I will guarantee you that they have not gotten to know the Savior like some others have. Because the more we get to know Him, the more we have to love Him. It cannot be any other way. The more we get to know Him, the more it whets our appetite to want to get to know Him. And the more we get to know Him, the more our lives are channeled right into the likeness of Him. Find me a person whose face just radiates like Mr. Tearness Wilson, like Rex Trogdon. Men like this whose faces radiate the Savior that they know intimately and love. Find a person like that, and I'll guarantee you that's a person who has gone in for the knowing of Christ. And their worship and their appreciation and their adoration of the Savior can't be any other way. That's some of the lessons that we can learn from Mary. All of the discussion that Martha brought before the Lord Jesus was answered by one thing. He said, Mary, verse 42, one thing is needful or necessary, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We have in mind here a several-fold little thing, but time is running out. We have 5 minutes and 12 seconds left, according to my clock. My downward counting clock. Well, I guess we were late starting, but I hit the clock right. The first thing that we learn from this is this, that we are faced with choices in life, and you're faced with choices. Some of you, this will be your last meeting for Congress. You're going back into the world as you know it tomorrow. I don't really like to use that term, but you know what I mean. Your normal routine picks up again either tonight or tomorrow. You will be faced once again, if not barraged from every side, with all of the things that the world and that the great tempter in the world is bringing before us. It will all be before you again tomorrow morning. You will be faced with choices once again. You have hopefully been challenged this weekend towards making the right choice. But here is the most right choice. Worship first, and then service. Worship first, and then service. And I want that challenge to just ring in your heart as you leave this place. Great lesson that we learned from Mary. Second thing that we learn from it is this. We are not working for the praise of men. We are not even working for the here and now. Yes, you have to work. You have families, perhaps, to support. You have car payments and insurance payments. You may even share in apartment rental or in house payments. You have electric utility bills and the like. It's a fact of life. We have bills. Maybe more than we ever wanted, but we have them. And there are obligations in life. There are also choices in life. There are choices of attitude. Your attitude can either be conformed to this world, or through the continual daily renewing of your mind, it can be literally transformed from that which is natural to that which is supernatural. That choice will face you maybe as early as 8 o'clock or so tomorrow morning. What is your choice going to be? Worship first. Service second. Can I implore upon you? Just take those four words and memorize them. Worship first. Another thing really that I just really appreciate about this passage is the account of the words of the Lord Jesus. He said that she has chosen the good part, and notice the little phrase, which shall never be taken from her. What do you mean by that? You're familiar, I'm sure, with the account of the widow and her two mites in the Gospel of Matthew. She gave to the Savior all that she had to give except for her life itself. Everything. I never liked math in school, but then later on I came to appreciate it. A mathematician sat down and they figured out what the widow's two mites, the two denarii were worth, that she had treasured up. They figured it up in A.D. 30 during the life of the Lord Jesus. And they put a U.S. dollar value upon the two denarii. And they entered a program somehow into their computer. Craig would be a good one for this, I'm sure not. They entered some type of a computer program where they invested her two denarii in A.D. 30 at 6% interest compounded only annually. to the year 1980. Do you know in U.S. dollars what her little two mites would have grown to by 1980? It was 4 with 17 zeros behind it in U.S. dollars. And that's only 6% interest. Ladies and gentlemen, what we do for the Savior and what we give to the Savior is being daily recorded by the most accurate accountant in history, to be rewarded one day at far greater than 6% interest, in a place where moth and rust never corrupt, and banks never fail, and stock markets never crash. And one day at the Bema, when we have given the account for the things that we have either done in our bodies or not done, you and I will be rewarded with crowns to lay at the feet of the Savior, eternal testimonials to the fact that we served Him? Well, yes, but primarily that we loved Him. That's what we're doing it for. Mary has given all that she had, 1 year's wages. She also gave Him her heart. And that's His desire of us today. Have we given Him all of our heart? Love so amazing, so divine, demands our heart, our lives, our all. Or do we have those little pockets that we uniquely reserve for ourselves? That, Lord, I'll give you 95% of my life. It's not too much to ask that I can just have 5% of it. 3%? Lord, I'm only asking for 1% to do what I want to do. Not too much to ask. Love so amazing, so divine, demands our lives, our hearts, and our all. May we leave this week and those who are leaving with a newfound desire to give Him our all. In time, we will never regret it. In eternity, we certainly never can. And our blessed Lord Jesus Christ will love us even more for it. May it be so. Father, we give our thanks this morning for the examples that we have of godly women in the Word of God. There are a lot more lessons concerning this dear Lady Mary, who had a very special place that she occupied in our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the things that we've been able to review this morning. Help us to take them again for our encouragement. Maybe even for our challenge. Help us, Father, to emulate Mary in our lives. To worship the Lord Jesus with all of our hearts. Only then will service naturally flow for the one who has redeemed us through His blood. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you this morning for the privilege that was ours of commemorating the feast that Thou didst give us in the very shadows of Golgotha. We ask our Father that there might have been something that literally touched Thy heart today. We have come together to tell Thee once again that we really do love Thee. Be with us this day. Be with those who will travel from us this day. Give them all safety and a renewed sense of whose they are and whom they serve. Help us all, Father, with the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, that people might recognize that we're manifesting, that we are indeed the Lord. This we ask, Father, for our good, but above all we ask it for the honor and the glory and the praise and the worship out of adoring hearts of the one who alone is worthy, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen.
I have no doubt that at least most of you, if not all of you, feel that you have been ministered to by the Spirit of God this morning. One of the ministries that we're involved in is a little paper called Spread the Word, which some of you get. And if you don't get it, there's copies over there, and you can sign up for that, and it's sent to you free every month. But one of the privileges of being involved in that is that from time to time, we offer material to people free of charge. The headship book, which is over there, is also, and I would encourage the sisters, not because I'm the author of it, quite frankly, but just because I think you would find it valuable in light of some of the comments made this morning.